Many things that Jesus said are hard to do. Many things that Jesus said are countercultural. Many things that Jesus said are counter to our common sense. But there might be not one sentence more problematic for the person of Jesus than the one that's embedded in our gospel passage today, in which Jesus said, if he doesn't just say this kind of awful stuff, he said, truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. This sentence is the one that really gives people a faith, gives Jesus, it gives us all a much more difficult time than when Jesus says, sell all the things that you have and give them to the poor, and that all means that, though difficult to accomplish, doesn't seem to be potentially wrong. Jesus seems to have completely miscalculated or something in this verse, because this generation that Jesus is talking to right now has passed away, and yet we're all still here. There are all these things that have happened that Jesus is talking about that maybe happened, maybe didn't happen, and is Jesus wrong then? And this is where the ink starts to spill for the scholars, because the scholars are ideologically driven too. But they start to tell it, maybe Jesus was wrong about this one thing. And of course, they go down that road, and Jesus just didn't have the calculations quite right about this generation. That's when all this stuff happening, the Son of Man coming in the clouds, and the kingdom of God drawing near. I mean, maybe this is just one of those times that Jesus did get right. And this is related to that whole debate between Jesus' human and divine sides. You know, they're not sides, actually, both all at the same time. But when we start these debates, we start to say there's a human side and there's a divine side. They say this is his human side, just like not hitting the mark. Which does lead a big question. Well, if he misses the mark here, or at least he misses the mark. And then it starts this whole, like, elaborate schemes of figuring out what real Jesus said and what somebody else said from Jesus. And it becomes just intellectual exercise if we want to say that Jesus was wrong here. But on the other side, there are people like Jesus was never, ever wrong. And they come up with the same kinds of like mental gymnastics to tell you why Jesus is literally right. And they can point to the events and the historical record and say that Jesus, all these things that Jesus actually says in this passage, it's not very satisfying often, and it does require that actually the grandness of what Jesus said gets diminished in order for that to be true. That Jesus, he says the whole face of the whole earth. This is a big thing. If folks want to say Jesus is never wrong, they have to do something else. And they have to kind of diminish what Jesus teaches here. And maybe both approaches diminish this, but the matter still remains, and I'm not convinced that either of those solutions are satisfactory for me. Because I want to understand what Jesus is doing, and I think what often happens with these debates about whether this generation did pass away or does pass away, or all these things did happen, they didn't happen, or whether Jesus understood what was going on, or he didn't understand what was going on. They actually miss the point of what Jesus is telling the people around him, because they get caught up in a few details that they can't quite figure out. Well, I'm not going to tell you, I figured out all the details today, but I can offer a third way. Of course, this is the Episcopal Church. This is the third way. Sometimes I think it's the third rail, but I know there's a place if you look for third way. Well, the first thing I want us to think about Jesus, we all know that Jesus is prophet, priest, and king, and we go through Jesus' teachings and kind of say, like, this is a priestly teaching, this is a kingly teaching, this is a prophetic teaching. And anybody who spent any time with me, especially in an Old Testament study, knows that I have a really particular way of thinking about what a prophetic role is. Because I've got rule number one. And rule number one for all prophets is they are not allowed to say stuff that has no meaning for the people they're speaking to at that moment. And you might think, why is that rule? That's a rule because that gets us out of saying, well, Isaiah is working with your Isaiah in a couple of weeks, or you know, Jeremiah this morning. They're talking about a time far off in the future that has no relevancy to what is is happening in my daily life now, and I say that it's just not true. Why would God spend so much time and energy with prophets if he was just trying to have them record something that somebody else would figure out thousands of years later, and that the people who would be receiving the teaching could do nothing at all? Prophets must be speaking to the people in front of them at that moment, and it must have some meaning for them right then. The other thing that I see when I look at this teaching is that Jesus is going back and forth between two ways of looking at the world. He is, in one instance, talking about the upheaval and the turmoil of the world, both in natural disaster and nations fighting with other nations. And at the same time, he alternates, he'll tell you one bad thing, and he tells you, the kingdom of God is near. My words will not pass away. Don't be discouraged. Don't give in to dissipation, drunkenness, and the worries of this life, so that you can be prepared. Jesus is upholding two views of the world that we often do not hold simultaneously ourselves. We are prone as people to giving in to one view or the other, and I would call these views everything is awful, which is the opposite of the Lego movie, and the kingdom is already a king. And Jesus has a crowd in front of him, and the people in that crowd would have been just like the people in this crowd today. There are those of you that feel as though the world is awful. And that the turmoil and turbulence that you see around you is something that shows the chaos and the spinning out of control of everything. We're not sure where to start. And there are some of you that feel like things are pretty good. Or you might be a person that just went from things are pretty good in the world not too long ago to everything is awful in the world. And this is the problem. Is that if you hold one of these other views as your guiding principle, you are going to find yourself slipping back and forth in a different situation, in a different lens. And Jesus, in this teaching, as he alternates back and forth, is telling you, you are to hold them both simultaneously, and there's a reason why. He doesn't want us to hold that everything is awful view, because he keeps giving us hope in here. Because everything is awful view, it certainly leads to discouragement. It certainly can lead to depression. But the thing that it can do that is more dangerous is that it leads you often to believe that there was a time when things were not awful. At least they were not awful for you. And it allows, if you think they're awful not for you, to do things like manufacture persecution. They allow you to think that there was an order in the world that was better than the order that we have now. But the everything is awful you only shows, if you hold it, that you were my God. In a time when you used to be in the other camp, that the kingdom had already arrived. Because Jesus would have had these people in his crowd too. And these people there, you know, the scribes and Pharisees are living a heyday because people are actually more or less in public keeping the Ten Commandments. And they have an actual temple that they can worship at. They hadn't had that before. There are all kinds of metrics to society that things are getting better for them. But it ignores the fact that there are places where things are not better for everyone. And Jesus wants to say, those of you that think you've got it already, I want you to look at the world around you and see the tumult and the destruction in other places. I want you to be able to see past what you can see with your readers on. And notice that there are bad things going on in the world. And those of you that think that the world is all bad, I want you to get out of my pocket view that, like, just because things are bad around you, that the kingdom is not bringing in. Because Jesus is teaching them here that all these things that they see are related to one factor. That is, the kingdom of God is near. And when you live in a space where the kingdom of God is near, We neither live far away from it, in the everything of the world, and we neither live in it, in the arrived world. We are always living in the near world. The near world is a hard place to be. My loved ones are vacations. I like to drive. My family, maybe they don't like to drive, but I like to drive. Except, it doesn't matter how far we've driven away, we get driven 20 hours away. When I get back, that last full boost stop at the end in the northern side of Illinois, I take my iPad down and put it in the glove box. That's the worst part of the trip. So good. I'm almost home, and almost home is a good place to be. I don't want to be almost home. I want to be all the way home. And now, it's like, there's construction. There's tumult. There's so much turbulence in my way to get home. And each minute, from the state line to where I get off the interstate onto the belt line to go to my home, I like to say, like, minutes, but it's not that. It's like, I can even measure how many minutes. Because living near something means that everything is an obstacle that's in your way of getting there. But it also is a reminder that you're not there that you could be. Jesus tells the crowd that they may live in that near space. They live in a world of bad stuff. They live in a world where the kingdom is constantly breaking in all at the same time. He wants them to hold that view. And that's how I truly tell you, this generation will not pass away. So all things have taken place. The reason Jesus can say that to them is because they live in a world that is near to the kingdom. Same reason we can tell you, this generation will not pass away, because all generations live in this space. All generations are almost home, but are not there. And all these things are always taking place, and we're always waiting, and until the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, all these things will happen for every generation. Forever. Jesus is telling us the truth when he's telling us to live near the kingdom while you can, until you are living.